Forest.org, brought to you by USDA Forest Service and the Ad Council.
Okay, everyone, what did you think of the chocolate bar?
It's too chewy. It
feels kind of chalky.
Too much nougat.
I need to go brush my teeth.
Business is booming for Steph's small marketing research firm.
After all these focus groups, there's only one conclusion. I need more researchers.
And she's way too busy researching.
Does this have peanuts?
To waste time researching resumes.
I need Indeed.
Indeed you do. Put our matching platform to work so you can spend less time searching and more time connecting with talented candidates. Visit Indeed.com/credit and get $75 towards your first sponsored job. Terms and conditions apply.
Whether you own a local business or a global one, you're always looking for ways to position your operation to create opportunities and move on them faster. With Bank of America, you get access to experts, award-winning insights, and business solutions so powerful, you'll make every move matter, locally and globally. Visit bankofamerica.com/bankingforbusiness to learn more. What would you like the power to do? Copyright 2024 Bank of America N.A.
You're listening to WRDN 1430 AM Durand Mondovi Wabasha and 107.3 FM Translator W297CH Durand.
ABC News, I'm Sherry Preston. Top U.S. officials are increasing pressure on Israel to improve the humanitarian situation in Gaza. ABC's Tom Sufi Burridge in Tel Aviv has more on a letter sent by the Secretary of State and the Defense Secretary to their counterparts.
Effectively, the U.S. is saying to Israel, if you don't let more aid get into Gaza right now, and particularly to the north of Gaza, then weapon supplies from the U.S. to Israel could be compromised in the future. I mean, the suggestion is there's a time frame within which Israel needs to comply with this. So I don't think we're talking about any kind of immediate action in terms of U.S. weapon supplies being cut off or diminished in any way.
With the election 3 weeks from today, a Georgia judge has ruled that county elections officials must certify election results and cannot exclude any group of votes from certification, even if they suspect fraud. Giant pandas back in the U.S. They've landed at Dulles Airport and are on their way back to the National Zoo. This is ABC News. The parents of a high school student in Massachusetts are filing a new lawsuit over how the school reacted to their son's use of artificial intelligence.
A student at Hingham High School is being accused of using ChatGPT to help complete an assignment.
They told us that our son cheated on a paper, which is not what happened.
In a lawsuit, his parents say he used AI to research the paper, not to write it. And mom Jennifer Harris says the school's handbook only added language about AI after her son got a detention.
They basically punished him for a rule that doesn't exist.
The school says they do have AI policies and have spoken to students about how to use it. Mike Dubusky, ABC News.
Walgreens will close about 1,200 U.S. locations amid slumping sales and changing consumer behavior. The closures will take place over the next 3 years, starting with 500 stores shutting down in fiscal year 2025. Walgreens operates about 8,500 stores in the U.S. Sherry Preston, ABC News.
If you love to travel, Capital One has a rewards credit card that's perfect for you. With Venture X, earn unlimited double miles on everything you buy and turn everyday purchases into extraordinary trips. Plus, receive premium travel benefits like access to over 1,300 airport lounges where you just check in and chill out. Open up a world of possibilities with Capital One. What's in your wallet?
Terms apply. Lounge access is subject to change. See CapitalOne.com for details.
Come on in to Total Wine & More. Prices much lower than a grocery store. Spirits, wine, beer for a whole lot less. Walking down the aisles makes you stop and say, yes! From mixing cocktails, a friendly get-together, or a brunch outdoors, Total Wine has everything you need. And more. With the lowest prices and best selection for over 30 years, you'll always find what you love and love what you find. Only at Total Wine & More.
Drink responsibly, B21.
Wisconsin Radio Network News. I'm Ted Aylin. A special fire order is issued for more than a dozen counties.
Due to prolonged drought conditions and potential for elevated fire danger, the Wisconsin Department of Natural Resources is reinstating burning permits in 13 counties. A permit is now required for burning in a debris pile, a barrel, or in grasslands and wooded areas unless the ground is snow-covered. A burn permit is not required for campfires intended for cooking or warming, but the public is reminded to use extreme caution. All of Columbia, Crawford, Green Lake, Marquette, Portage, Richland, Sauk, Waupaca, and Washara counties, and portions of Oconee Toronto, Dane, Grant, and Iowa counties are included. More information is available on the DNR's website. Sean Maloney, Wisconsin Radio Network.
A Halloween plea and sentencing date has been scheduled for a central Wisconsin woman accused of providing the drugs that led to an overdose death.
Lindy Lucas is accused of providing the drugs that an unidentified Cronenwetter man ingested before he died back in 2021. Investigators say Lucas has been a known drug dealer in central Wisconsin for some time, and they were able to track the drugs he ingested back to her. She previously pled not guilty to the count of reckless homicide by delivering drugs and has been jailed on $250,000 bond ever since. No further court action is scheduled between now and the October 31st hearing. Mike Leishner, Wisconsin Radio Network.
The Harris Walz Blue Wall bus tour visited Wausau Monday, with Governor Tony Evers and Michigan Governor Gretchen Whitmer rallying Democrats.
Whether it's about personal reproductive freedom, it's about good-paying jobs, it's about keeping more money in our pocket, and making sure every one of us has a path to prosperity in this country. There's a lot at stake in this election, and that's why we're out here stumping for Harris and Walz.
The governors emphasized voter turnout and making sure voters and their friends and family have a plan. You're listening to Wisconsin Radio Network News.
You have work to do. You need a tractor that helps get it done. TYM is a full range of tractors designed to meet that task. With the TYM easy-to-use controls and features, switching from one job to another is easy. And with a full range of models from 24 horsepower to 105 horsepower turbo, there's a TYM tractor that's just right for the job and for you. Work smart, but you can't buy a TYM tractor just anywhere. It's only sold at special authorized TYM dealers. Synergy Co-op, State Road 25, Ridgeland.
Here's your Real Country 1430 forecast.
I'm meteorologist Brittany Merlot. Mostly sunny today with a north breeze, keeping our highs to the low 50s. As a high-pressure system slides into the area, overnight lows crash cold into the mid-20s. We could be waking up to patchy freezing fog and widespread frost. Paying too much for health insurance? Call 1-800-693-9308 for better rates and coverage. Right now, it's 49.
And welcome into AOA, Agriculture of America. Thank you for joining us here on today's show. Good to have you along. I'm your host, Jesse Allen. Our program brought to you by our friends at Cenex, their premium diesels and premium lubricants. Trust your local experts at Cenex. Power through the season. Cenex has what you need. Visit your nearest Cenex store or Cenex.com for more information. Coming up here on today's show, we're going to talk with Dan Hallstrom, President and CEO of the U.S. Meat Export Federation, in segment two. Get a rundown of the latest meat export numbers for September. We'll also have a conversation with Tom Peterson, the Minnesota Ag Commissioner. Get an update on the situation in his state surrounding the Pure Prairie poultry mess debacle impacting poultry growers in Minnesota, Iowa, and Wisconsin. We'll talk about that coming up here after the bottom of the hour, and we'll get a look at Ag News headlines later on in the show. Helping us kick things off today here on AOA, pleased to welcome him back to the program. North Dakota Farmers Union President Mark Watney joins us here to start the show. Mark, it's good to talk with you again, sir. How are you?
You know, doing quite well. We're having a pretty good harvest up in our part of the country, and I think the guys are digging into the corn here pretty soon. So with a couple of weeks, we'll have wrapped that up pretty well. So good year. Not everybody had perfect crops, but a pretty decent crop overall.
Well, that's good to hear. And I know I got some pictures texted this morning of some beet harvest getting rolling along. Maybe not so much early Tuesday morning with some of the cold weather, but working through the Red River Valley up there in North Dakota and into Minnesota as well. So harvest rolling along. Good to hear things are going all right. I do know, and I want to start with the wildfire situation in the western part of North Dakota. We've been covering it here on the show. And of course, tough, tough situation for many folks impacted. Livestock folks especially have been impacted by this. What's some of the latest that you were hearing there at the Farmers Union in terms of the ongoing efforts with the wildfire situation?
Yeah, I know the governor was up and surveyed it. I know USDA has put forward some options for both ranchers and farmers. We operate an insurance company. We were somewhere in the neighborhood of probably between 130 to 200 claims. Interesting enough, most of them claims are tied to the wind. And, of course, the wind was the issue. Obviously, fire is always bad, but when you put 50, 60-mile-per-hour wind behind it, it really gets out of control. So in some cases, we were quite lucky. It didn't get into a community exactly. It was more rural. But that's, you know, we have a lot of really sad days out there where people that lived on the farm and ranches that were impacted by their livestock and or their losing some of their crops. So it's kind of just a terrible thing all over the place, but hopefully we can get some moisture here coming up this weekend and make it not quite so dry if the wind's going to blow.
Yeah, definitely. I sure hope so. I know the Department of Ag in North Dakota has restarted the hay hotline too, and more details can be found about that on our website, agricultureamerica.com. I want to talk about something else as well. I know that NDFU has applauded some of the recent steps to increase price discovery in the livestock industry. Talk about this for us and NDFU stance, Mark.
Sure. So over a number of years, along with our national organization, we've been running a campaign on fairness to farmers. And it really should be fairness to consumers also, because what's happening is we've, you know, like 50, 60 years here, we've kind of ignored our monopolistic laws, our GIPSA rules, the Grain Inspection and Stockyards Act, which prevent companies from owning too much of the marketplace and enabling themselves to not really price set, but have the ability to influence the market without kind of the open cry system. So in beef, we have four companies that own 85% of the slaughter. Two of them companies are not even U.S. companies. And through their ability to do contract marketing and to do formula pricing, they call it, and to do contracts negotiated not out in the public eye, they have ability to indirectly not allow for the open market system to really set the price fairly. They kind of removed themselves from that type of the auction market. And when you only get one or two bidders at an auction, that usually is not a good sign that the market is truly reflecting what the value of that commodity may be. So this is a good step. It's one of those things that's necessary to, again, get some transparency so that you can't hide those contracts and pricing. You can't hide the parameters around a pricing situation. You can't leave pockets and regions in the country that don't have some ability to have at least multiple bidders for the commodities we sell. And this is really an interesting dilemma, because it also impacts the consumer, and we've seen that through COVID, where you have so few players that they can not pay the rancher much for their cattle and at the same time charge exuberant prices to the consumer because they simply control the market. So this is a good step. It's got a ways to go, but it's something that we really believe is essential. And starting in the cattle industry is big, but we can tie this almost to everything we're doing now in agriculture. There's getting to be too few players in the marketplace.
Well, and to that point, especially with the cattle side and beef, we've seen just in the last week or so, McDonald's is suing the big four in the U.S. meat industry, Tyson, JBS, Cargill, and the National Beef Packing Company as well. So now we're starting to see some of this from the business restaurant side. I know that the Senate Ag Committee advanced the Cattle Price Discovery and Transparency Act of 2022. The bill was never brought to the floor. I'm wondering, with a farm bill still out there in limbo, could this be something that gets included in a farm bill whenever we eventually get a new five-year farm bill, Mark?
Yeah, no, I'm kind of hoping that has some possibilities. I mean, there's two or three things happening. One is they're talking about trying to get some disaster programs together because there's been a fair amount of drought around the country. You know, of course, add this wildfire up here and wildfire elsewhere, you got disasters. And those things are so devastating when we're sitting in a situation where prices are relatively low, especially on the grain and oilseed side. So you're getting a drive for a disaster program. You're getting some drive for the potential of a Discovery and Transparency Act. And then, of course, you're sitting on a time frame when we can't get this probably done before the recess. Will we get it in lame duck? Now, I've predicted that we're going to pass something a couple times and have been wrong. But I will say the dialogue is substantially higher at this moment for maybe lame duck passage of a farm program. And, of course, that's the perfect place to tie some of this stuff in. And I think it's essential because you can't keep the government costs of programs down if you're going to allow for marketplace manipulation that lowers prices that indirectly causes more government payments. So we got to think about that. We got to get the market to function. And anytime you have, you know, over 40% control, called the CR4, that creates that atmosphere that you may have manipulation in the marketplace. Well, we're sitting at a CR85 or CR84, and that's just crazy. So we're way out of scope of where we should be.
Folks can learn more, ndfu.org. With that, the president of the North Dakota Farmers Union, Mark Watney. Always enjoy the conversation. Thanks for being with us here on AOA today, Mark. Appreciate it.
You bet. Thank you.
All right. Coming up next on the AOA, powered by Cenex Lubricants and Greases. Learn more at Cenex.com. We'll talk about August exports for the meat industry with Dan Hallstrom from the USMEF next.
I was running until I wasn't. My hospital stay would have cost nearly $48,000, even with insurance. But with VA, I'll pay zero. And VA is the best, most affordable healthcare in America for veterans like me. Knowing that my family is waiting at home and a surprise medical bill isn't, that's good for my heart. My service was then, my benefits are now. Get what you earned. Visit choose.va.gov.
Not all veterans are eligible for the type or amount of benefits mentioned here.
At CHS, we know what it takes to feed and fuel the world, to integrate a global ag and energy supply chain, to advocate for farmers in their fields and around the world, to build communities, invest in rural America, and empower rural economies. It takes courage, conviction, commitment. It takes the nation's leading farmer-owned cooperative. It takes a co-op. It takes CHS.
The United Soybean Board, your soy checkoff, is on a mission to deliver sustainable soy solutions to every life, every day, from food products to renewable fuels, tires, and beyond. For the next several weeks, tune into AOA on Thursday mornings for the Sustainable Soy Update Series. We'll visit with farmers and industry experts to discuss soy checkoff investments focused on the sustainable production of U.S. soy and how this builds markets and profit opportunities for farmers. For more information, visit unitedsoybean.org.
Make sure to subscribe to the Market Talk YouTube channel. You can watch our latest interviews with top market analysts in the country, find bonus content, and much more. It's easy. Just go to youtube.com/@MarketTalkAg and hit the subscribe button. Or you can search for Market Talk Ag on YouTube.
Get the latest bonus interviews, exclusive content, and more with the American Ag Today podcast. Just search for American Ag Today and give us a follow wherever you get your podcasts.
Fact. U.S. Senate candidate Eric Hovde suggested most nursing home residents shouldn't be allowed to vote because of their life expectancy.
Listen to Eric Hovde.
Well, if you're in a nursing home, you only have 5-6 month life expectancy. Almost nobody in a nursing home is in a point to vote.
He doesn't know what he's talking about.
Even though I'm old, I'm doing just fine, Eric Hovde.
Son, I've served this country. I think I can handle a ballot.
Listen to Eric Hovde again.
Almost nobody in a nursing home is in a point to vote.
What's he talking about?
Didn't he learn to respect his elders?
Eric Hovde hasn't just insulted older Wisconsinites. He's also proposed cutting Social Security, Medicare, and nursing home care, even veterans' benefits.
He's crazy.
He's a jerk.
Eric Hovde, what's wrong with this guy?
I'm Tammy Baldwin, candidate for Senate, and I approve this message.
Paid for by Tammy Baldwin for Senate.
Information America's farmers and ranchers need. AOA. Now, back to Jesse Allen.
And welcome back to AOA. Jesse Allen here with you. Today's program brought to you by Cenex. Selecting the right grease is critical. Cenex premium greases help your equipment achieve superior strength and performance. Protect your operation with Cenex. Go to Cenex.com or your nearest store for more information. Well, let's take a look at the August export numbers for the meat sector, beef, pork, lamb, etc. Joining us now to talk about that and more, we have with us Dan Hallstrom, President CEO for the U.S. Meat Export Federation. Dan, good to talk with you again this month. How are you, sir?
I'm good. Thank you for having me, Jesse.
Well, let's start with our friends on the pork side. It looked like August pork exports above year ago levels. We've been having some pretty strong numbers there here throughout the year as well. Talk about what we found in the month of August on the pork side.
Yeah, pork came in for August strong, led by Latin America. We, for the month of August, we were up about 6% in the volume, 239,000 tons. The theme's the same. Mexico continues to be the leader off of some pretty big numbers a year ago. We were up 4% there. Central America strong, up 30%. South America, led by Colombia, was up almost 80%. And the Caribbean region continues to perform well, up 3-4%. So that being said, the performance on Asia, while steady to down slightly, was actually not too bad either. You know, I think we're starting to see some increased demand in Asia as well for food service as the tourism rebounds. So all in all, really, it's a little bit like a tape of last month on pork. Some good news in general. I think that'll continue through the balance of the year.
Beef exports, they trended higher as well to a few different countries. Let's talk about the beef side as well before we dive into a few other topics here that are related. What did we see for the month of August on the beef side?
Yeah, beef down slightly, a couple percent at about 103,000 tons, but we've been in a very, very narrow range all year. This is pretty typical. And once again, led by Mexico on the beef side, up a couple percent off of a number that for beef was pretty high last year. Taiwan up 4-5%. Middle East was up 40%. You look at the ASEAN Southeast Asia region, Philippines had a huge month, 2.5 times higher than a year ago. And you look at the Caribbean region, also led by food service on beef, was good too. So a lot of some good news in different areas. One area that I want to mention that was actually down just slightly, 1-2%, was Japan. But we're starting to see some improved trend lines at food service there as well. So I got to think that there's some pent-up demand on beef in Asia that will, if we don't start seeing it in quarter four, definitely we'll start seeing it, I think, in early 2025, more than likely in both quarter four and early next year.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Well, hopefully we will be seeing that. It sounds like that trend is going to be heading there. I noticed this too. August lamb exports, the largest since January. That's a good sign for the lamb side.
Yeah, the lamb side is really getting some pretty good traction in Mexico, the Caribbean, Central America. But Mexico and the Caribbean in particular, we've gotten pretty active as we seasonally do this time of year on lamb in those regions. And we're starting to see some success specifically in Mexico with some new business, on lamb shoulders in particular and a few other things. So, while the numbers are small, as you point out, the growth is pretty dramatic. So we're kind of excited about some of the traction we're getting on lamb.
Now, I want to frame up some of these numbers and talk about a few other issues, notably on the beef side. We saw in September, Colombia, we've had some restrictions there, those getting lifted. Talk about that issue for us here first, Dan.
Yeah, I think this is a big success on the beef side. We've been struggling with the impacts of H5N1 on a dairy cattle side that's resulted in the restriction of exports of beef from those states that had positive cases. And it was up to 14 states at one point. So Colombia, as you heard on the pork side, we've seen dramatic growth the last 4 or 5 years. But on a percentage basis, beef's been increasing as well. And we were averaging over $3 million a month up until April of exports of U.S. beef. And the low point was in August. The stats that we just looked at, the low point was about $600,000. And that was a result of not having 14 states eligible to export. So the good news is the end of September, we regained full access. Wonderful work by USDA, APHIS, FSIS, FAS, and of course USTR on getting total beef access reinstated, following the science. We all knew this was not based in science. So this is a good thing. And it wasn't only a good thing for Colombia. It was a good thing because we were really worried about this setting some precedent, maybe in some other countries trying to follow that same flawed methodology. So this is really good news for the beef side. And now we can focus on regaining that lost share.
Couldn't agree more. We're talking with U.S. Meat Export Federation President and CEO Dan Hallstrom here today. Dan, I want to go back over to Asia and I want to look at China and get some thoughts from you there. I know that in recent weeks, we've been seeing a lot of concern about the Chinese economy overall. There's been talk of more stimulus, things like that, et cetera, and with China being such a big world player, so to speak, we always kind of end up talking about it in terms of ag exports and more. Do you think that China's economy could have some impacts here on some of U.S. meat exports to that country in the fourth quarter? What do you think about that, Dan?
Well, yeah, we've been hearing all along from our team over in Beijing and Shanghai that the consumer confidence is low. The spending, the willingness to spend has also been low, sort of a conservative consumer attitude, so to speak. Now, you're right. There has been stimulus, economic stimulus that has been implemented in the last, especially in the last month. And this could have a positive impact. We haven't specifically seen it yet, although it's probably a little early. And typically from a seasonal standpoint, as you get into that fourth quarter, demand is better as you get towards the end of the year anyway. So, and then especially into January as you approach Chinese New Year. But that being said, it's our performance, while down into China on pork, is actually up a little bit on variety meats. The variety meats are extremely important on both beef and pork, but especially pork. And if you look at the muscle cut business on the beef side, while we're down, it's still big business. I mean, we're going to see the year end up to be 1.5, 1.6 billion in sales. And while it's down to the tune of, 10% or so from last year, it's still a very, very big market. So, I'm a little bit cautious when it comes to China. But as you said, they are getting aggressive on stimulus. And hopefully we do see a benefit as we get into the last quarter and early next year on the demand side.
One other thing, too, that I just thought about that I wanted to get an update from you on as well. Of course, we had that dock worker strike for a few days, end of September, early October. I know there was some concern when it came to containerized ag exports and meat exports fell into that category, but thankfully it was a short-lived strike. So I'm guessing we didn't see much in the way of major impacts, maybe some minor backlogs. Can you talk about that a little bit, Dan?
Yeah, I think you're exactly right, Jesse. I think that the fact that it was really only 3 days, I'm sure there's some backlogs, but I think they're relatively manageable. But let's be clear, the strike was suspended. Only part of it has been settled, the wage part, which was a large part. But there's other parts of it, including automation, including pension and benefits, things like this that still have to be decided. So it's been suspended with a new target date of January 15th. So I think we still have to keep the pressure on. We certainly cannot afford any kind of a stoppage as we get into January. But you're exactly right. It could have been a lot worse, believe me. And I'm sure the situation we're in right now, we're probably more impacted, honestly, by the hurricanes that have hit the southeast, which were extremely unfortunate. And But we'll see a rebound here and get back to normal soon, I'm sure. But we have to keep our eye on January 15th and make sure that we don't have any sort of work stoppage in the East Coast and Gulf at that time.
Good things to remember. Folks can find more at usmef.org. U.S. Meat Export Federation President and CEO Dan Hallstrom. Thanks for joining us on AOA today, Dan. Appreciate it.
Thank you so much, Jesse.
All right, AOA Today, powered by Cenex. Optimize your operation with diesel fuel storage from Cenex. Go to Cenex.com for more. Up next, we'll talk with Minnesota Ag Commissioner Tom Peterson here on AOA.
My hospital stay would have cost $25,000, but with VA healthcare, it's free.
My education would have cost $42,000, but with VA benefits, my books, tuition, and housing are all covered.
The down payment for my home would have been $74,000, but with my VA home loan, my down payment was zero. My service was then. My benefits are now. Get what you earned. Visit choose.va.gov.
Not all veterans are eligible for the type or amount of benefits mentioned here.
At CHS, we know what it takes to feed and fuel the world, to integrate a global ag and energy supply chain, to advocate for farmers in their fields and around the world, to build communities, invest in rural America, and empower rural economies. It takes courage, conviction, commitment. It takes the nation's leading farmer-owned cooperative. It takes a co-op. It takes CHS.
AOA.
Efficiency is critical for your farming or dairy operation, so extending the life of your equipment, walls, flooring, and machinery by adding plastic liners installed by Osseo Plastics and Supply only makes sense. Plastic liners wear longer than steel and they clean up fast. The call to Osseo Plastics will save you valuable downtime and lower repair costs for years to come. Make the smart choice and call Osseo Plastics and Supply. Have them help you become more efficient with your money and time with plastic liners and resurfaced equipment and flooring from Osseo Plastics and Supply.
Double-digit gains in the milk markets with this WRDN market update. I'm Brian Winnikins at the Mercantile Exchange. November milk up 34 to 21.13, December up 54 to 21.12, January up 20 to 20.45, February milk up 15 at 19.87. Live in feeder cattle markets with triple-digit losses. Hog markets were also mostly lower on the day. More than anything, the market was liquidating from a technical sense. Traders believe that the cattle, feeder cattle and hog markets are all somewhat overbought, even though boxed beef prices were higher in the cattle markets, but the pork cutout values were lower. That also helped to move prices lower on the hog side. October live cattle down $1.52 to $186.72. October feeder cattle down $2.60 to $246.52. December hogs down 57 cents to $75.22. At the Chicago Board of Trade, corn, soybeans, and wheat all were mostly lower, even though there were some export sales, even of wheat, but the grain markets were stuck in a downtrend due to a lack of real fresh bullish news, and that kept the buyers on the sidelines. U.S. harvest weather's favorable, a better rainfall outlook in Brazil and in the Black Sea region, and weak energy prices all contributed to lower grains. December corn down 7 to 401 and a quarter. November beans down 5 to 991. December wheat down 5 and 3 quarters.
Wisconsin soybean farmers are fueling Wisconsin. In 2021, the value of Wisconsin soybeans was $1.61 billion. That fuels our state's economy, communities, and Wisconsin's future. Wisconsin soybean farmers fuel our state, country, and the world while protecting the land and water. Learn how the Wisconsin Soybean Marketing Board and Wisconsin Soybean Association are working hard to fuel our farms and future. Visit Wisconsin Soybean.
Just like you, Cenex Premium Diesel is no stranger to the field. In fact, Cenex Ruby Fieldmaster comes with a more complete additive package for a more complete burn. In simpler terms, you get restored power by up to 4.5% and restored fuel economy by up to 5%. Of course, there's always typical number 2 diesel, if you're not into the whole added power thing. Cenex Premium Diesel. Diesel that doesn't mess around.
Your Cenex Ruby Fieldmaster distributor is Elsevia Co-op.
Informing America's farmers and ranchers, AOA. Now back to Jesse Allen.
And welcome back to AOA, Agriculture of America, as we continue here today on the program. Jesse Allen back with you here, and we are working to connect with Minnesota Agriculture Commissioner Tom Peterson here in just a moment. We'll look forward to connecting with him on the line here in just a second. And good to talk with Dan Hallstrom from U.S. Meat Export Federation there in segment two as we talked about those meat exports and more. And we saw that a few minimal changes here and there when it comes to exports in the month of August. And interesting to see that we're going to have some rebounds, it looks like, here as we get into quarter four. At least that's kind of the trajectory that Dan was talking about. So we're going to be watching that closely here as we move forward. And I'm thinking that we didn't really have any of those impacts from the port strike, as we talked about there at the end of the segment as well. So hopefully, a good point from Dan, keep the pressure on, and we'll get that resolved here as we move forward. Well, of course, we're watching the Pure Prairie poultry situation, and that's something that we're looking to talk with Commissioner Peterson about and the impacts in his state here as we move forward. I know with the case of the state of Minnesota, along with Iowa, they have some protections in place, whereas Wisconsin doesn't. But we want to get an update on how things are going with the situation in Minnesota. Joining us now, Minnesota Commissioner of Agriculture, Tom Peterson, is with us. Tom, welcome back to AOA, sir. How are you?
Good to join you, Jesse.
Well, let's start. And as I was kind of saying there, this whole situation with Pure Prairie poultry has been quite a mess for many growers across the upper Midwest, Minnesota, Iowa, Wisconsin. And as I was alluding to there, the state of Minnesota, in this case, you've been able to try and step in and help is what I've kind of gathered. Can you give us just a background and kind of update on how this situation is unfolding in your state?
Yeah, you know, quite a saga, you know, Jesse, as well as everybody knows, Pure Prairie plant poultry closed its doors a couple of weeks ago, and you know, a tough on the workers, you know, but closed the plant, you know, and that did two things to the six farms in Minnesota. Was there was no feed going to the plants, and there was no plants for them to go to. The other problem with that was the birds in Minnesota were at, you know, 40 days, so they're ready to go to market, you know, and just in time is kind of the way we do a lot of our processing in agriculture. And so that was, you know, time was not our friend in this situation. And so as we looked and assessed the situation on behalf of the growers, you know, the first thing was to help the farmers get feed to those, you know, and so we worked with that. But keep in mind, these birds had liens on them, you know, like financial liens. And so it was hard to try to find another processor to pick up. You know, I know other states are having that issue right now to pick up those birds. We were able to sell some of the birds, but because the birds had financial liens on them, it was hard to get them into processing. So this is where you saw, you know, days go by, the birds get bigger. The state of Minnesota, we do have like emergency, you know, funds. So we did offer, if the farmers wanted, you know, some farmers gave away birds. You probably saw that on Facebook and continue to. You know, and that's a difficult situation too. And other farmers decided to depopulate the birds. You know, and I'd say humanely, it's something we've had to do in Minnesota with HiPath, and we have equipment, and you know, and we're able to do that under the guidance of a veterinarian, AVMA, you know, regulations and you know, procedures. And so that's where we're at now. The birds in Minnesota were taken care of you know, last week, and so now we're offering assistance to both Iowa and Wisconsin.
Well, I know in Wisconsin in particular, on a state level, they don't have some of the same protections in place that Minnesota does. And I know you mentioned some of the pictures on social media. We've been seeing lines of trucks and trailers lining up at some of these farms in Wisconsin, for instance. But back to another part of this issue as well that I know you've been talking with folks at USDA about. It was just, I believe, 2 years ago, excuse me, that the company got a USDA grant and loan to restart their Charles City, Iowa poultry plant. And now 2 years later, this company's filing for bankruptcy and then stopping paying for feed and things, et cetera, et cetera. It sounds like this is something's going on here. And I know there's been many calls to have this situation investigated, right?
Absolutely. You know, and I hope that a robust investigation goes forward. I was happened to be in Washington, D.C. last week and was able to speak personally to Secretary Vilsack about this, and he offered a lot of leadership and folks that will be doing an investigation into this. We've been working closely with our state's Attorney General's office. They were a big help in trying to release those liens and move forward on this. And, you know, as we got into looking at the bankruptcy filing, there's a lot there. And, you know, my first thing to do was to take care of the chickens, but really to take care of the farmers. This is a lot of stress on those farmers, you know, and everybody, you know. Think about, too, the biosecurity and everything else, having a lot of people come to your farm and then spreading chickens all around the countryside. You know, who owns those chickens? Who's liable if somebody gets sick from those chickens? There's a lot of stress there for the growers and everybody else. So there will be a lot of follow-up on this. Jesse, as I said, you know, in Minnesota, we're done at the moment with the chickens and everything else, but we've just started an unraveling this long saga it will be.
We're talking with Minnesota Commissioner of Agriculture, Tom Peterson. And with your conversations with Secretary Vilsack as well, I know that they've been mentioning that growers should look at maybe getting some claims through the Agricultural Marketing Service. There's some different protections established under the Packers and Stockyards Act. But with this situation happening, do you think there needs to be more done in terms to try and stop this from in the future, potentially some different policies put in place with USDA? Should this stay at the state level? Any thoughts on that?
You know, I think what was a real bottleneck for me as commissioner was a couple of things. One was, and we've seen this before when we've had cases where, you know, for whatever reason, the poultry or the animals are not getting fed, is how to provide emergency feed in that situation until we can assess the situation, which sometimes is hours or days. But, in these cases, you know, some of the feed companies owe hundreds of thousands of dollars to, for feeding the birds, you know, and so they, and then the liens that were placed on the animals, like we could not move them. And so, folks would rather have them, you know, die or anything else than do that. And so that is one thing I think I'll be looking at, you know, is that, you know, some kind of assistance there. And then some kind of, you know, there is supposed to be items in place at the company to protect the growers, or a fund, and we'll see what happens there. And so we will also be looking at that and what compensates. There's also a chance if the farmers do use depopulation, they can use some assistance from the NRCS. So we're encouraging growers to work closely with the NRCS and the local FSA office so they document the losses.
All right. I should ask you, harvest, I know, rolling along across much of the Corn Belt Midwest, and obviously a lot of producers in Minnesota earlier in the year had all the impacts from the flooding and the rain in southwestern portions of the state. With that said, though, how has harvest been going? What have you been hearing from producers across the state, Tom?
Yeah, no, I just did a swing through the state yesterday, and good to see combines rolling around the state. You know, soybeans were, pretty far ahead, 60, you know, plus some percent, almost 70% of the crops in. Corn just starting about 20%, maybe, on. In an average harvest, you know, we had that, you know, like you said, that wet spring that really delayed a lot of things. So farmers will tell me they're going through the field. This is pretty common to see, 20 bushel beans and then 70 bushel beans. And so, you know, just a lot of unevenness in both the corn and soybeans. And, you know, our root crops, too, have also kind of suffered. Minnesota is a big sugar beet state. And, we have smaller beets. And that crop, we've had a hard time getting it out just with the warm weather we've been having. So, all in all, an average harvest, things are going along okay. But we could use a little rain, too. It's a little dry here. We've had some fire issues, too, with harvest. So always interesting, Jesse.
Definitely always interesting. Well, hopefully folks have a continued safe harvest across the entire country, across Minnesota as well. One other real quick thing I wanted to highlight: October, Farm to School and Early Care Month. And I know that the Minnesota Department of Agriculture just unveiled the state's first ever Farm to Kids strategic plan. Can you give us a quick overview of that, Tom?
You know, I think that it just really appreciate you mentioning that. We're just so proud of the work that we've done you know, in farm to school here in Minnesota. But now we've expanded it to early care. So think of child care centers, in-home care centers, where we can help folks get those fresh fruit and vegetables into our early care too as well. And then provide them assistance on how to do it, how to procure locally. And then the one thing I'm excited about, Jesse, is adding more protein into those school diets. You know, it's always been apples, squash, carrots, those type of things. But in Minnesota, we're having good success getting local hamburger, local turkey into those schools and connecting them with local producers. So win-win for everybody. And thanks for highlighting that. It's a great partnership that we have with growers, farmers, the schools, and others in Minnesota.
Absolutely, man. Folks can learn more on the Minnesota Department of Agriculture website. With that, we're out of time in this segment. Minnesota Ag Commissioner Tom Peterson, always good to talk with you, sir. Thanks for joining us today here on AOA. We appreciate the time.
Thanks, Jesse.
Once again, Tom Peterson, Commissioner of Ag in Minnesota, joining us here on AOA, powered by Cenex. High-quality fuel like Cenex Premium Diesel Fuel can help you manage risk and decrease downtime, giving you peace of mind. Learn more at Cenex.com. We'll take a look at Ag News headlines on the way next here on AOA.
Hi. What's in a name? Well, if it's OptiCare, you can expect optimum animal health, optimum performance, and optimum care for your livestock. OptiCare is a complete line of beef, swine, dairy, and specialty products, each designed to treat or prevent common animal health problems, enhance growth, and improve performance. OptiCare, their name says it all. See Jerry Bear and Sons of Arkansas for a complete line of OptiCare products, Hubbard Feeds Incorporated products, and the answers that work.
Whether you have a large animal or a small one, the Animal Wellness Center of Buffalo Valley can keep them healthy. With top-notch veterinary care, plus boarding and grooming services, the Animal Wellness Center keeps your pet happy. And they specialize in chiropractic care to keep your large animals moving. Make an appointment by calling 715-926-3836. The patients come first at the Animal Wellness Center of Buffalo Valley, located in the Mondovi Industrial Park, your complete traditional and holistic veterinary care clinic.
Farmers, it's harvest time and the last thing you need is downtime while waiting for parts for your equipment. Need custom hydraulic hoses and fittings? See Durand Napa. Need hard-to-find parts? See Durand Napa. Need bulk oil or hydraulic fluid? See Durand Napa. Durand Napa also has filters with low prices throughout the entire year and has specialty tools for your equipment. Keep your equipment working throughout the harvest with Napa Know-How from Durand Napa, Madison Street, Durand. Thinking about adding cover crops? Olson Farms of Mondovi is pleased to announce cover crop planting services this fall. Adding cover crops like winter wheat can improve soil health, build organic matter, control soil erosion, boost crop yields, and increase residue to help combat white mold in soybeans. Receive a $5 per acre credit in crop insurance next year. Olson Farms has cleaned and bin run winter wheat available. Call Christina Olson at 715-495-6104 for your cover crop needs while improving your farm's bottom line.
Plastic will have made it into the ocean. Plastic has become a useful part of our everyday lives, but it's polluting the air, water, and soil that all life needs to survive. This is a human problem that can be solved with human action, but it's going to take all of us, from individuals, to businesses, to governments, and everyone in between. Help create a cleaner future for both people and nature. Visit wwf.earth/plastics.
Join us the first Wednesday of every month on AOA for the latest episode of the Monthly Grind with our friends at the National Corn Growers Association. We'll discuss the latest topics surrounding the corn industry, the relationships between corn and other parts of the agricultural supply chain, the newest initiatives and partnerships from NCGA's Market Development Action Team, and much more. That's the first Wednesday of every month for the Monthly Grind on AOA. It's a show you don't want to miss.
When you run a fleet business, delay is a dirty word. What fuels me to stay on schedule? My clients, their clients, and everyone's bottom line. What fuels my fleet? Cenex Roadmaster XL, a premium diesel fuel formulated with its best additive package yet to clean the entire fuel system for more power, less maintenance, and better fuel economy. Cenex Roadmaster XL, fueled by innovation, powered to perform.
Sometimes life is wonderful, and sometimes it's not. Cherish the good, but always be prepared for life's challenges. At Private Healthcare, we provide the peace of mind you deserve. With Private Healthcare, you'll get the coverage you want and healthcare you need. If your employer doesn't supply healthcare coverage and you don't qualify for Medicare or Medicaid, you need to give us a call right now. Private Healthcare is private health insurance for ages 65 and under with medical, dental, vision, and even prescription coverage. When life comes at you unexpectedly, you need to be ready. And health insurance is your financial safety net. If you're looking for health coverage at the best price and your annual household income is $35,000 or more, give us a call at 800-760-9937. That's 800-760-9937. 800-760-9937.
Deeply indebted to them, and I'm sure they'll be friends and acquaintances for life.
Farm Rescue exists to shine a light on farm families during some of their darkest days. When an unexpected injury, illness, or natural disaster strikes, our volunteers and equipment are here to help free of charge. Farm Rescue is currently accepting applications for haying and harvest assistance. If you or someone you know could use our help, call 701-252-2017 or visit farmrescue.org today.
Information America's farmers and ranchers need. AOA. Now, back to Jesse Allen.
And welcome back as AOA rolls along here today, powered by Cenex Bargain Tractor Hydraulic Fluids. They're not worth the gamble. Trust Cenex quality fluids for performance you can rely on. Visit your nearest Cenex store or go to Cenex.com for more information. Also, take a look at Ag News headlines. Just weeks after wildfires started and have been burning through almost 500,000 acres in Wyoming and Montana and through North Dakota as well, in the western part of North Dakota, more devastating wildfires are popping up around the cowboy state of Wyoming. As communities tried to pick up the pieces after the devastation, Wyoming received a USDA disaster declaration to help assist in agriculture's recovery from wildfire damage. State Governor Mark Gordon issued an emergency transport order to protect livestock and the ag industry in the fire's area. Now, ignited by a lightning strike in late September, the Elk Fire is breaking records as the largest wildfire to tear through the Bighorn National Forest in 100 years of recorded history. According to the Fire, Weather, and Avalanche Center, as of October 9th, the Elk Fire had scorched over 75,000 acres with only 16% containment. Reports say as many as 889 personnel are working to put out the large fire. Unusually dry weather conditions have not improved the situation. Well, USDA made slight changes to its October crop production forecast, but as expected, it still predicts record soybean and near-record corn crops. USDA Chief Economist Seth Meyer says the October crop forecast, after adjustments, had no surprises.
We had a little bit of a yield increase in corn. Yield was up 0.2 of a bushel from the previous estimate, and that was pretty much in line with what trade expectations were. Let's note that this remains the second biggest corn crop in U.S. history.
As for the soybean forecast,
despite the fact that we reduced bean yields a little bit, 0.1 of a bushel, this is the largest soybean crop in history. From a combination of both being a record high yield and being a large area, the soybean production number was right in the dead center of the range of trade expectations.
But how accurate are the USDA forecasts? Well, Lance Honing with NASS told USDA Radio that corn numbers are usually close to the mark.
Over the last 25 years, the change from October to final has really only varied from going down less than a bushel to up less than 5 bushels. And on average, over a 25-year span, that average change from October to the final yield is only less than 0.5 bushel.
And Honing says the accuracy range for soybeans is similar as well. While the future is uncertain for thousands of Georgia farmers, the state's agriculture commissioner said, with poultry growers and pecan farmers facing years of recovery from widespread destruction, farmers in Georgia face billions of dollars in preliminary losses from destructive Hurricane Helene in what could be a catastrophic blow to the state's agriculture industry. Agricultural damages are expected to reach at least $6.46 billion, according to an early estimate from the University of Georgia's College of Agricultural and Environmental Sciences. The total is based on crop losses plus losses to businesses and workers supporting agriculture. Now, estimated losses are approximately three times that of Hurricane Michael in 2018, which caused at least $2 billion in damages and was considered one of the most destructive storms to ever hit the state. Also, we continue to follow the situation surrounding Pure Prairie poultry abandoning growers in Iowa, Minnesota, and Wisconsin. We have more in this report from our affiliate, Brian Winnikins at WRDN in Durand, Wisconsin.
As poultry growers for Pure Prairie Poultry continue to deal with being abandoned by the company, there are calls for changes to USDA policies. While the states of Iowa and Minnesota had some type of plan in place to feed or euthanize the birds, Wisconsin and even USDA did not. Wisconsin Senator Tammy Baldwin says USDA may not have the authority to take over the flocks when a company walks away, and maybe that should be changed.
May not have the appropriate authorities that they need. They are well empowered if this were a natural disaster, but a sudden bankruptcy and closure, it seems like we need to perhaps look at giving them more authorities.
Minnesota Senator Amy Klobuchar, member of the Senate Ag Committee, says there's an opportunity to add some type of safety net for poultry producers in the Farm Bill.
You have the opportunity with this Farm Bill, since it hasn't yet been passed, to do something when it comes to this.
In 2002, Pure Prairie Poultry received a $6.9 million grant and a $39 million guaranteed loan from USDA to reopen a plant in Charles City, Iowa. Klobuchar said a Senate investigation into what happened to the money needs to be done.
There must be, and this is outrageous.
Because no feed was available and no help coming from the state of Wisconsin or anywhere else, the affected farmers were forced to try and sell over 160,000 chickens to the general public for $1 each before the birds starved to death. I'm Brian Winnikins.
And thanks to Brian for that report. And again, we talked about this earlier in the show as well with Minnesota Ag Commissioner Tom Peterson, the situation in his state. And we're going to continue to follow this story as more unfolds with it. We'll have more coverage here on AOA as we go through the rest of the week and beyond. One other news note to share, farmers looking to weeding robots as herbicide-resistant solution. A new survey by the Illinois Center for Digital Agriculture finds more than half of corn farmers would adopt weeding robots. Ag economist Shadi Atala says the prevalence of herbicide-resistant weeds is a major factor. A $40,000 robot and a $20,000 robot were tested, according to Atala, and he says, quote, as you might imagine, the more expensive the robot, the more I'm going to wait until I have more weeds and more resistance until I adopt the robot, end quote. Now, more than 93% of planted row crop acres in the U.S. have genetically modified herbicide resistance, but Atala says the efficacy is declining. Some studies have shown that loss of efficacy via chemical control will lead to crop losses that could reach up to $100 billion per year. Atala recently developed an integrated weed ecological and economic dynamic, or iWeed, model system to understand what factors could impact farmer adoption. He says earlier use of robots did lead to better profits in the model. That is a look at Ag News headlines here today on AOA. Today's program powered by Cenex. Their premium diesel can keep your operation moving. High-quality fuel like Cenex Premium Diesel can help you manage that risk and decrease downtime, giving you peace of mind. Find more at your nearest Cenex location or go to Cenex.com for more information. Coming up on tomorrow's program, we'll get a look at sunflower production and more. We'll talk with John Sandbachen from the National Sunflower Association, markets with Garrett Toy from Ag Trader Talk. All that and more coming up on tomorrow's AOA. For now, we are out of time. Thanks for joining us. I'm Jesse Allen. Have a great rest of your day.
As a veteran, I live with health impacts from my service. VA healthcare means you're in 100% control of your own medical care, your own benefits, and it only takes minutes to set up. A veteran should enroll in VA healthcare because it ensures that they get quality, high-level care for the rest of their lives. My service was then, my benefits are now.
Get what you earned. Visit choose.va.gov. Not all veterans are eligible for the type or amount of benefits mentioned here.
At CHS, we know what it takes to feed and fuel the world, to integrate a global ag and energy supply chain, to advocate for farmers in their fields and around the world, to build communities, invest in rural America, and empower rural economies. It takes courage, conviction, commitment. It takes the nation's leading farmer-owned cooperative. It takes a co-op. It takes CHS.
Are you looking for more in this world? Are you ready for something bigger? Then we are looking for you. The big-hearted, the bold, the messy and the gutsy. The teachers, the growers, the builders. The skilled, the share.
How was your drive to school?
Let me tell you. I had to get my iced coffee first. I just can't seem to put it down. My favorite rapper just announced a tour. My phone was buzzing like crazy. I'm so excited. I had to text all my friends right then to talk about it. Then someone started calling me and...
Let's try that again.
I turned my phone off right away. I never drive distracted.
Visit StopTextStopWrecks.org. A message brought to you by the National Highway Traffic Safety Administration, Project Yellow Light, and the Ad Council.